Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 852. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Really, really good, Kevin. Now, especially that I've got my chocolate shake that I've been waiting for, that I made us wait to begin recording.
I do not blame you for, if you're not going to have a beer, we may as well get a milkshake review at the end of the podcast here. I haven't talked you into the Beltane beer, but the Beltane milkshake sounds quite tasty. We like to get straight to business here, and it was, to me, very eyebrow raising, in a good way, that it was announced today that Seth freaking Rollins is going to be part of Captain America 4, and I can't remember what the wording is after that at the current moment.
It's actually New World Order. So everything is wrestling. And you know what? Before we really get going, I gotta say, I watch movies to watch actors act, not to watch wrestlers act. See how silly that sounds, Becky? Last week Becky Lynch said she doesn't like seeing Bad Bunny and Logan Paul wrestle. Those spots should be there for wrestlers, for actual wrestlers. Well, what do you say now, Becky, huh? You've tried to go into someone else's world? Your husband's going into someone else's world?
That just seems like a weird take to have. Especially when you're wrestling a part-timer. And we're tag-teaming with a part-timer. Before the Seth Rollins news, it is pot and kettle calling each other black.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And I guess I thought she was around when John Cena was around. It's just like, come on, isn't the stuff with him and The Rock kind of infamous at this point?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, why would we rehash this argument?
I have no idea why. But I didn't get that off my chest because it's annoying me all week. And so many other people give... You know how it is. Certain women wrestlers among their fan base just get to say whatever they want and just be essentially be sacred cows. And I just like... If Dolph Ziggler said that, if Karrion Kross said that, all over him. Come on now.
Yeah, definitely. I agree that there would be a fair amount of criticism if it came from a different party. And there's, it's also one thing if she would have a storyline reason to go for that. But she is firmly being positioned as the babyface against Trish Stratus.
She absolutely is. Yeah, it has nothing to do with storylines. She's got something up her chest, whatever. But Seth Rollins, you know what? Very interesting. Interesting timing with everything because he has been on such a roll. He's certainly no less than the number two babyface in the company, arguably number one. Yeah, he's in the finals at for the World Heavyweight Championship at Night of Champions. He's repeatedly making references towards Roman Reigns. Still teasing something there. And yeah. in the meaning of all this, he's filming a movie. Now it seems like the role is going to be, a bodyguard type role. who knows how many lines there is, or if there are any lines.
Yeah, it's going to be similar in nature to Roman Reigns making an appearance in the Hobbs and Shaw movie.
Yes, that's very similar. Or Stone Cold Steve Austin in The Expendables, although he got... But that's a higher level of that. He got some lines. He got the fight Stallone. You know, he was the head. He was the underboss.
He was
the main henchman.
Yes, he was the underboss. I'm glad you got with the Tony D act here and started naming underbosses.
So, but that's very interesting, and that is going to be a gigantic movie.
Yeah,
they always are. Whether the movie going audience has superhero fatigue, and we're going to start seeing lesser numbers for these types of movies, we'll see. But still, a major coup for one Mr. Rollins.
Yeah,
and I know someone of the articles that referenced it noted that there is some concern about Seth Rollins going forward if there is more of this. I mean,
oh,
at the end of the day, they approved it. They let him do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I would imagine you're in the finals, you know. Like, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. And this crowd reaction for him, it has pretty much been going on since just past that feud with Cody Rhodes. Like, he was the bad guy in that whole feud. And then all, like, a month later, everyone's singing his theme song as he comes out.
Yes, it's been building for a while. The official turn was a little late last year, and he's got a really, really strong run going for himself. Probably going to turn out to be a relatively small role in a big movie is not necessarily be the beginning of a, and now it could be the very, very beginning of something. But it's not going to be anything. He's going to be imminently gone anytime too soon. Not long enough for him to not carry on and through any dangling storylines or anything of the sort. So dangling threads or anything of the sort.
Oh yeah, because I guess I didn't even think because I did not read the full release. Did they even say when that was going to start recording? I mean, they're just announcing that, aren't they?
There were photos. He was on set with Anthony Mackie and whoever else. He was.
Oh, okay.
So he's there. So, he's there. They are currently filming. And movie's supposed to, I think, be out later this year, early next year. So. Or maybe later, maybe in the middle of next year.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so Seth will, if more offers come in, well, I guess he'll have a decision to make, but overall, I think after this, once again, it seemed like they've planned around this, that we're going to get 2 weeks in a row now of sit-down interviews with Seth and Corey Graves. To make up for him not being there this week or next, and then he's going to go to, and then after he's done, I guess after he's done filming, he's going right to Saudi Arabia.
You know what? I was liking the way they had those interviews, just because
they were fine.
You know, it's always a nice change of pace to have something like that. I was wondering why they were having the and find out on next week's Raw, and I'm like, huh?
Seth isn't going to be in the building.
It's just like, oh, okay, well, this makes a lot more sense now why it's happening this way.
Yeah, it does make a little more sense. Definitely. And they're well done. I don't know if I like Corey Graves as much in this role. But it's fine. And once again, they teased that Seth Rollins will tell us what he really thinks of Roman Reigns, and we're still keeping that in play. That is very, very interesting to me. That is all still, you know, being teased. All while Seth is in the final for this World Heavyweight Championship, and I don't foresee him losing. It doesn't make. Oh. I guess you could have AJ win and
end up, and then
they kind of trade, but then Seth's going into SmackDown then and trying to go after Roman Reigns with a loss to AJ Styles. On his resume, that doesn't work either. If you want to get Seth in contention for Roman Reigns by SummerSlam.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I was just like, AJ was a little bit of a surprise pick, but I'm not sure who they would have challenged Seth Rollins that I would have thought could have beaten Seth Rollins.
Yeah, no, it's being done very strangely, although the whole thing with the triple threat matches and just rushing through it all.
Oh.
And now we're left with this just total, you know, babyface, let's have a good match for the sake of having a good match. story basically here, Seth not even going to be around for the next 2 weeks to really hammer home much, or there's not going to be too much in it. There's going to be no interaction between the two of them.
No, right.
Very weird situation. And yet, as I said, Seth still, teasing a future match with Roman Reigns, all the while challenging for this World Heavyweight Championship that he's likely going to win. Is this a temporary thing that we're not really going to carry on with a World Heavyweight Championship? Roman's gonna come for that too. Maybe that is what they're gonna go for.
They went with was it Bailey two belts? Was she the first one, or was it Becky two belts first?
Becky two belts was first.
Okay. They could go that route. I am kind of interested. I feel like something's going to go wrong, and maybe Solo Sikoa is going to lose his shine at Night of Champions.
Yes, that's also very, very likely as well. And, of course, all of their problems would have just been solved with Cody Rhodes winning at WrestleMania.
I think that could be worked into every podcast between now and the next time Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns face off.
Yes. What wouldn't be better? Cody and Brock would be for the title. Now along the way, Cody could have given up the Universal Championship and just kept the WWE Championship. That we would have done like a tournament for the Universal Championship, and Roman Reigns could have kept his focus on that, and Seth Rollins could have had his focus on that, and yeah, it's not everything would have worked better than this. Now you've got this heatless match between Seth Rollins and AJ Styles for the booby prize. You've got Roman Reigns in a tag team championship match while still holding the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship while still carrying around
two belts.
Titles. And Cody and Brock are going to be in their second month. It's all in the same calendar month. Their second match with nothing at stake.
And you know what I thought was kind of interesting is that they didn't mention any stipulations
No, they did not.
Because
that is very interesting to me that they're not running a stint for Cody and Brock. All the talk about fights and not saying the word match and all that. It's just they're just going to have another. Now, granted, I mean they, you know, with the match they had, you know, Cody jumping Brock before the match and using weapons, and Brock bleeding off the exposed turnbuckle.
Yeah,
you know, they had as violent of a match as they could have under those circumstances. I don't know if they're going to try to do something like that again. I imagine there's a better chance that Brock will actually win the second match between them. So yeah, they can push a third down the line. But yeah, very, very strange situation. So once again, it doesn't feel like it's going to be the end of it. The match in the middle, the second match is never. If we're going in a trilogy, and you start to see the trilogy coming, the result as well as this how it's going to go is just less in doubt. So it's just, yeah, it's once again, it's an interesting time, but definitely some weirdness heading into the Night of Champions for the reasons I mentioned.
Yeah, and that will be quite a match to watch, I suppose. But yeah, I agree with you. I'd be pretty surprised if Brock does not come out of that. I really thought Brock was going to win this past match, so I would be even more surprised should he not come out the winner in at least one of these probably three matches. I feel like most of these big feuds do last at least three matches at this point in time.
Yeah, they do. And once again, the whatever feud they've had with Cody and Brock is just feels less than it could have been without a championship at stake. I mean, Brock is Cody's first challenger.
Oh. And, I mean, we're still in the situation where, there still isn't really a good explanation to me that it's just like Brock can't challenge for the championship still.
Yeah, no.
Unless he has the ghost for the world heavyweight championship, and he seems uninterested in that. You know?
I mean, he took, what is he? He took a look. He glanced at it after he was done beating up Cody.
Yeah. Oh.
But nothing really substantial there. Yeah. No. He's. Yeah. Once again, everything has been so thrown off by the decision to not crown Cody. It really has. Once again, obviously they're still hot. They're still selling out, and they've had the crowd in Europe, particularly Paris, and then of course Puerto Rico last week. But there's just that one decision combined with the overall depth of the roster definitely it certainly has me concerned for the second half of the year whether they can keep this momentum going. And that's not even mentioning all the uncertainty surrounding the merger and everything. Definitely some interesting times afoot. As things have been incredibly, have been at least interesting for quite a while. But we've had an uptick in the quality of WWE programming for a little while as well. And I'd hate to lose that.
Yeah, I mean, overall, still a positive, a net positive. I guess, do you want to start talking about some of the depth who may be coming up to fill spots here? There was one on Friday Night SmackDown. Who got a very quick win over one Mr. Baron Corbin. Cameron Grimes on the main roster gets a 6-second squash match against the man known as Baron Corbin.
Yeah,
What say you about Cameron Grimes maybe being able to fill some type of role? Like, I mean, if you're talking main event depth is their problem, then that's just not even a conversation that, you know, we need to.
Nah, I mean, he can certainly be a guy on the roster. He's, you know, he's talented. He's charismatic enough. I mean, the problem is, once again, like, we're back to that thing where he became a fully developed character in NXT. Oh. He made all that money, and he's this wealthy, you know, redneck now, and, you know, all the vignettes that they did with the Million Dollar Man and everything else like that, and he's that guy.
Oh,
and yeah. I don't know. And once again, that thing where a fully developed character from NXT shows up on Raw or SmackDown, and they don't really explain what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, that definitely happened in this case. I mean, they talked him up a little bit on commentary.
They did do that. They did trialist a little bit, but it's again. We're talking about 2 years.
Yeah,
of character and story development that took place on the C show that less than half the audience of SmackDown watches. he can be a fun character.
Yeah,
this redneck who has all this money and just spends it all on stupid stuff. But it could be a real. You know, like the Beverly Hillbillies coming to, you know,
yeah, the 2023.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy smokes!
That.
I mean, that was a childhood show. Oof. Man, bringing back some memories with that one.
there's things you could do to. To make it entertaining and to it's a mid-card cop. It's what it'll be there, and it's fine for him to fill that role.
He should be a guy that just helps kind of fill a spot. Maybe can get to the mid-card title would not be. Completely surprising to me. Should that be in his future somewhere? Because I always, he's one where I'm like, I kind of forget how big he is sometimes. But him not being completely small next to Baron Corbin is at least something of a statement. I know that Corbin's at least tall.
Yeah, he is. Tall.
And he didn't look too short next to him. That was one of them, because I was looking through SmackDown to see what so much was centered around. We kind of dipped our toes in it. I guess, do we want to do anything more about Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa going for the championship, or talk about the brow beating that the Usos received?
I think that's definitely worth talking about. No, once again, Yeah, Roman Reigns absolutely browbeat down the Usos, and then it was announced that, Jay really, really bucked up to Roman Reigns, and, you know, Jimmy tried to be the peace, no, wait, was it, wait, who, wait, was it, wait, no, wait, Jimmy was the one who bucked up to Roman Reigns, wasn't it? And then Jay tried to be peacemaker.
Jimmy made the first move, and then Jay cut him off and apologized. I needed the review desperately to remember which one, because I could not remember myself.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you for actually doing some research. And then it was announced that Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa will be challenging Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at Night of Champions. And Roman Reigns will have the opportunity to add two more belts to his collection. In some ways, I don't bet against it actually happening, but I do think that obviously they get out of this by pinning Solo.
Yeah, I feel like that's the way it's gonna go, just because. Yeah, it seems silly to. The Usos have helped at least build something of a division, and I think they were on later, because I feel like Whatchamacallit popped up on. Did they pop on up on SmackDown or Raw? Pretty deadly. I can't remember which brand they got moved to.
They're on SmackDown.
Okay. So, yeah, since...
And they got in the face of the Brawling Brutes.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. So
I believe that match is on Friday with them against Ridge and...
Butch,
yes. So, yeah, I believe that match. So, yeah, you got Pretty Deadly as a...
But I guess, yeah, they're actually trying to rebuild the tag division a little bit, so I think that they shouldn't take the belts off of Kevin and Sammy, just because they're better options to wrestle some of the teams out there.
Oh, I'm fairly certain Sammy and Kevin are retaining, so that just brings even more, of a crack in the bloodline. Where we're going here. I mean, they introduced Pretty Deadly on SmackDown, on Raw. That's right. The Judgment Day. Yeah. Finn and Priest getting a non-title win over Kevin and Sammy. So they're already set up to be the number one contenders after this is over.
Yeah. That was one of those. It's just like, guys, you're tipping your hand a little too much this time.
Yeah, I guess I thought that a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, not that big of a deal, but it's just like, oh, okay, so we're getting this match next, huh? But yeah, I mean, it still should be an enjoyable match. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think Kevin and Sammy are going to stay tag team champions too long and forego their singles careers for very long.
Uh-oh.
So I could see them losing to the Judgment Day. that needs a little little extra gas, because the men of the Judgment Day have taken some big losses recently.
I guess. I don't know where you fit them in the singles division.
You really don't. So yeah, I mean, getting Finn and Priest the tag team championships, I think you can make do with that.
Yeah.
You've already got Dominic feuding with Xavier Woods that could easily, continue when Kofi returns into a tag team championship feud. The Big E's future is still very questionable, but once again, that could be a 3-on-3 right there if he's able to be back in the summer. Then there's other babyface teams. You refresh the division of tag teams. Plus, they also get to go over to SmackDown. They get the Street Profits, blah blah blah, and other teams. Ricochet and Braun, and you really do, in between, the Usos and, using, I guess, Kevin and Sammy as a transition, you can revamp the tag team division and then recycle through. Because, of course, the Usos just beat everybody seemingly more than once.
Well, they definitely beat the big names, such as the Street Profits and New Day, multiple times. I can think of at least two for the New Day offhand.
Yes.
Did they beat them for the tag team championships to start with?
No, they've been They beat Rey and Dominic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you know, and they just mentioned that.
Yeah, there were two separate times though that they did beat the New Day. I can think of, yes. And then there was definitely more than two times each, probably, that they that they fought the Street Profits. But once again, you go from Kevin and Sammy to another heel team, and those matches, those are new matches then.
Oh. Yeah. I'm with you that they could, well, they can have a decent run with the tag team championships and still probably split in time for WrestleMania next year. I don't know, you know,
about,
like...
Are you talking about Kevin and Sammy?
Kevin and Sammy, yeah.
I mean, you could do it.
You know, because I do think... I don't think it's going to be a long, long reign, but I also think that it's... I feel like they're going to cycle through at least a couple of these teams with them.
I don't know. Well...
If they don't lose the Judgment Day, I should say.
Yeah, I guess you could do that, yeah. It's possible, once again. I mean, they were drafted as a team and as individuals to Raw. Raw is also currently the home of Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. That is a babyface logjam if there ever was one. for single stardom. Which does, once again, make me think that something's still... We've still got a swerve coming that's going to get Seth or Cody over to SmackDown to challenge Roman Reigns by SummerSlam.
Yeah, that is pretty heavy. And that, honestly, that's another... definite sports aspect that I don't feel like they've done the trades recently very much during the season, but that, I suppose that would be something fun to work with if they decide to go that route and move one of those two over there to challenge. And I guess I still just... As much as I expect Seth Rollins to win that championship, it's going to be extremely weird if the two championships are going head-to-head again.
Yeah, it could be. Now, granted, you could have Roman Reigns interfere. An angry Roman Reigns having already lost the tag team title match. Interfere and cost Seth the match. Keep my name out of your mouth type moment. And then you could have CJ Styles not know about the interference, or you could turn AJ Styles heel. He could, you know, he's fine as well to face or a heel, whichever you really need. And over on Raw, he might be needed to be a heel champion, because once again, you have all those baby faces.
Oh, yeah.
So there is direction there you can go with that, and absolutely.
That'll be interesting to see what that result ends up being then. It's kind of one or the other with KO and Sammy, like lose and go their own ways somewhat quickly here or have a decent length reign. That'll be interesting to see which way they end up going. One team that does seem to continue to roll and has a fresh set of challengers off of injury, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are going to be feuding with Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, ended up a little more of an awkward situation than they probably planned with Liv out with what I assume they're hoping is a temporary injury. But of course, the way everything went down, this was not going to be long. The match with Chelsea and Sonya was basically going to be a glorified squash, I guess. It wasn't going to be much of a match. And they made it clear, they are not revisiting that either. That singles match was a proxy for the tag team title match. And Chelsea and Sonya are not getting another title they're not getting their promised title match anytime soon because they went right to what was, I assume, the planned angle all along to get Ronda and Shayna in place. You know, I assume at Night of Champions, but I guess a lot determines what's going on with Liv Morgan. They haven't really said what the injury is with Liv Morgan, but a clip from SmackDown from Friday did show a errant uppercut, I guess you would call it, or open palm strike from Dakota Kai to Liv Morgan. Looked like either she was legitimately out to lunch or a really, really great seller.
Yeah, I suppose it'll be, since they held her out and ran the angle that they did, I would have to say that they are hoping it's a minor injury and that she will be back in time for Night of Champions. Because, yeah, I mean, you can't have Night of Champions without all your champions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could, if push comes to shove and it was some type of a concussion where you can never, well, yeah, feel like they get to pass in wrestling a little bit easier than other professional sports these days. On the whole concussion thing. I mean, what do we have? What, 3 weeks or 2 weeks?
We got less than two weeks.
Oh, okay.
This is the quick turnaround. This is Memorial Weekend.
That
will be a Saturday afternoon for you and I.
This is taking place while I am driving somewhere in Virginia, so I'm not watching it. And doubtful I will watch it when I get back. I'm just throwing that one out there. I will probably just straight up look at those results, knowing what my situation is. I guess that is kind of a quick turnaround, but again, I feel like if they do think it's a minor concussion, that they do tend to come back a little bit earlier in professional wrestling than regular sports these days. So we will see. Although, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of examples that people can throw out there, and they really could if we're talking NFL concussions that were kind of obvious and people played the next week. So maybe I'm talking out my ass. I would have to say if they ran with the angle, they think she's going to be ready. Whatever did end up occurring. I guess, is there anything to say about Asuka challenging Bianca Belair again, other than SmackDown's women's roster depth is not a whole lot better than it was previously?
I don't know if that says anything about SmackDown's roster depth. I mean, once again, they basically moved the same feud over from Raw that was going on in going on to SmackDown. Well, the key being Asuka's a full heel now. That was the they didn't do that moment before WrestleMania. Maybe they should have. There's a strong argument that they should have, but we're getting Asuka and Bianca again very soon, presumably at Night of Champions. Asuka ruining Bianca's hometown celebration. Although, how many hometown celebrations does Bianca need? I feel like this is the fourth or fifth time we've decorated the ring in an orange for to have Bianca come back to the city of her alma mater. Sorry, Bianca, you didn't get to actually speak this time.
And I guess we all know that things do not go well for anyone in their hometown a majority of time. Even with Triple H in charge, you've got to have things go wrong in your hometown more times than not.
But no, once again, Bianca and Asuka had a very good match at WrestleMania. I'm assuming they'll have a very good match again, especially since there will be a solid face heel dynamic in this in this deal. I wouldn't necessarily surprise me if they were to go with the heel with a title change on this one. But maybe once again they won't. We shall see.
Yeah, that one I don't have a strong vibe for. I thought that they might do it at WrestleMania, and they decided not to pull the trigger. So it would be kind of interesting to have it happen at Night of Champions instead of WrestleMania. But like you said, the with Asuka definitely going heel, it could present some real positive for the women's division. Because, I mean, since Ronda is in the tag divisions, I'm trying to think of who the number two heel is, possibly on SmackDown. Is Charlotte still on SmackDown? I think so, yes.
Yes, she's still on SmackDown, yes. And once again, that would be possibly the match you would run with at SummerSlam with Bianca and Charlotte. So no, if that would be the plan, then no, you don't have Asuka. Asuka win the championship beforehand. No.
We do not need any hot potatoing. If there's one thing that wrecks a championship reign, is a good old hot potato. So yeah, please and thank you, WWE, if you're listening. And I think that about wraps up the SmackDown portion of the show, just because we've already talked about AJ and Seth at this point for the World Heavyweight Championship. I do know that one thing on Raw that we did not talk about is your favorite wrestler from NXT seemed to be getting a look from Judgment Day, quite possibly.
God, I don't like this guy. McDonagh, I don't care for him.
Yeah.
So many of these European wrestlers, NXT is just filled with them. And if they weren't all right, wait, this would be a terrible thing for me to say, but I'm kind of tired of them.
It's become something of a joke with Jeremy and I. We thought that JD McDonagh was short, but then we saw him in the ring with some of the other people in NXT, and it's just
head.
Like
it's the head. The head just the head makes him make the head would make him look reasonable standing next to Brock Lesnar. Come on. Now.
So
why is his head so big compared to the rest of his body?
I'm not going to say shockingly tall, but
I don't think he is. No, it's all in the head.
Yeah, it's still wild though that I'm like, hold on, like this is, I don't get this. Like, how are there this many people that are vertically challenged on that roster?
Oh, it's possible. It's true. Yeah, I don't like anything about this guy. I don't like how they try to portray him like he's like some dangerous psychopath. I don't feel it. I don't. He's not big enough. He doesn't portray anything menacing or intimidating enough. Yeah. It just does not work for me. I don't know how he's gotten this far in WWE, but I wish they would stop before he goes any further. No, I don't want him in the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day finally's got really has momentum and good chemistry. Let's not ruin it. Let's not turn this into something where he takes over and kicks Finn out of the group. I don't want to say anything like that. I just just get rid of just cut your losses. He sucks.
They do not agree. He seems to have gotten promoted through and through. I do think though that he's gonna end up I mean, they haven't been able to find, as much as Triple H was a fan of Johnny Gargano, I know that injuries have played a little bit of a role in his main roster problems, but they still haven't really been able to find a spot for him. And I just think that sometimes the guys that size do really run into something of a wall when they get up to the main roster, just because there are a lot of big guys up there. I mean, Kevin Owens is big without being that big. You know, he kind of dwarfs these guys. Yeah, I don't know. I like him a little bit more than you, but he's also not like one of my favorite characters or anything like that. They try to do that understated Patrick Bateman type, you know, put together killer gimmick for him. And I agree with you. Like, sometimes it's just like, I think he's good in the ring. It's also, though, like, they have enough real credentialed guys where it kind of goes back to that Blackpool Combat Club thing. It's just like, we know that you guys are just fake wrestlers here, guys. Like, there's a difference between that and knowing, no, really, Chad Gable was at the Olympics. And I'm like, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he has a provable thing that he was in. So, yeah, it's a little tough trying to get the psycho killer gimmick when you're not the biggest. And I guess I thought, I'm like, really? Feud against Dolph Ziggler to prove yourself? Dolph really just gets dusted off for these types of feuds and then goes back to his comedy tour, evidently.
Yeah, it's not a bad life. I mean, at this point, I'm sure he's done more than well, so, and just continues to get that check, so good for Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of random that one Mustafa Ali, Positive Ali, won the Battle Royal to face Gunther at Night of Champions. We are getting a full-on squash match at Night of Champions.
I don't know if it's that much of a squash. I mean, he's the only wrestler of Muslim descent being currently pushed, because Lord knows Masur is not being pushed. So... it's Ali. Yeah, and you know what? And it's fine. Once again, he's not. I don't know if I'll completely squash him, but he's not gonna. Yeah. Obviously, he's not gonna win either.
Oh no!
It's nothing. I mean, would he have been my first choice? No, but once again, it'll be fine. It'll just be another win for Gunther as they try to figure out who's going to be the big challenger for Gunther on the Raw side of things? Who's the big bruiser that's gonna challenge old Gunther?
You know, I'm trying to remember where Riddle is.
It will vary. I think he's on Raw. I think he is on Raw. Or maybe is he?
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of where he was showing up with that. Because, yeah, I really don't remember.
He was in the Battle Royal.
Oh, was he? Let's see. Yeah, because I was a little bit shocked that... No.
He's on Raw.
Okay.
He's on Raw, so yes, they can definitely do Gunther and Riddle, yes.
Yeah.
And it's safe. And with Riddle's background, they probably should do that match, yes. They could have a physical match.
Yep, so that would be my choice for actual real feud for Gunther to get in and possibly be in peril of losing his championship. But I also know that he's held that championship long enough that at this point that he's more than likely getting a push to the world championship soon thereafter. So I in no way I already do not think that it is the end of the road for Mr. Gunther when he loses his title.
No. I mean, they're gonna have to do it somewhat delicately how they take the Intercontinental Championship from him and then move him up to
No.
challenge for the World Championship. But they've done it before. I'm sure they'll pull some old tricks out of the bag, and they'll get it done.
Well, we talked about her a little bit earlier. We did not talk about Becky Lynch's promo this week against one Trish Stratus. Not surprisingly, this is going to be a feud that is here and there since Trish is not going to be there every week, it would seem. And that makes sense. But yeah. I thought Miss Lynch cut a pretty solid promo to help hype their match headed into Night of Champions here.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Becky definitely did. Big fired up promo from Becky. Yeah, I like this match. I think it's good for the two of them. It's nice. It's good to have Trish back in the shape she's in, and just and dialed into her character. They'll definitely have a they'll definitely have quite a good match at and the Night of Champions.
Yeah, and we could have rolled this in with tag team talk earlier. Also, kind of new in a way. Indus Shear making their actual factual debut on Raw this week. Again, adding to the tag team depth that could be popping up and having something of a decent era of tag team wrestling here. They didn't have much of a challenge this week, but they're two huge guys in a tag team, and I think that always works.
Yes, Indus Shear as a team definitely works. I wish they would have done more with Veer as a single last year, but that just wasn't in the
No.
cards. But the two of them with Jinder as the manager who occasionally wrestles, there's a good dynamic there. They can definitely work with that. And they're another team that could be in the Beat Sammy and Kevin sweepstakes down the line.
Oh yeah. And there really wasn't much else. Rollins sit down. The non-title match we talked about. Anything else that you can think of offhand? That happened in the WWE. It's worth talking about that I have failed to run down with you.
I think we've covered WWE pretty sufficiently.
Question of the week, as usual, did you watch Rampage this week?
Absolutely not.
I completely forgot that I did watch it. But then when I saw the write-up and saw there was the Butcher, the Blade, and Kip Sabian against Daddy Ass and the Acclaimed, I'm like, oh, that's right, I did watch that. I maybe should not have.
Yeah, and once again, old Rampage is officially going to be stamp the sheet the C show in the next month. So I guess they're getting well. It's been basically presented as such for quite a while now.
Oh yeah.
There is no reason to watch this show ever.
But yet, I find myself watching it anyway. So, with that, Belltime beer of the show, I believe it was not just this past Christmas, but it was the one before that, that my brother-in-law got me Oscar Blues Can O' Bliss IPA. It's solid. It's a hazy IPA, 7.2% alcohol. Oscar Blues, you can get it pretty much everywhere because they started out in Utah, if I'm not mistaken, and now they have a production. Oh no, Longmont, Colorado, and now they have a brewery in Brevard, North Carolina, and Austin, Texas. So if you cannot find some Oscar Blues beer, you don't live in the United States, I guess, at this point, because that's a lot of distribution area to cover. So, yeah, Oscar Blues, very good national brewery that started out there in Colorado. So, that is the Belltime beer from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.